Natasha woke to the unmistakable brightness of a snow-covered night. Instinctively, the skin on the back of her neck and shoulders prickled where the leotard exposed her skin. Chin up, head on top of your spine, feel the diamond in your back. Sagging wooden windows covered on the inside with frost thick enough to scratch pictures in, mornings without water because the pipes had frozen again, endless tendus and degages. The time is 4:59 a.m. The temperature is -7.8 degrees. Captain Rogers has just left for his morning run. Sir and Miss Potts and Mr. Barnes are asleep. Agents Coulson and Barton are not yet out of bed. Jarvis opened the intercom, letting her hear the rustle of fabric as Phil slipped out of bed. After a childhood in a dormitory, Natasha often didn't sleep well by herself. It felt unnatural, as if she had to be on alert. Shortly after Phil and Clint had started dating, Phil had suggested the intercom to Jarvis. A shift in the air brushed across her skin, and Natasha opened her eyes. She saw Phil, suited and booted, in her doorway. Anonymous in his elegant suit, he nodded at her, acknowledging her wakefulness, and disappeared. Fabric rustled again, and a few seconds later, Natasha felt a warm body slide into the bed. Clint was here, taking the watch, staying between her and the doorway. She tucked herself against his back, a hand on his ribs to feel him breathe. Natasha opened one eye and saw Phil kiss Clint's temple, the soft press of Phil's fingertips on hers. Natasha closed her eye. She was safe behind Clint. She was warm under her layers of blankets. She was allowed to sleep in, so she did. When Clint and Natasha finally got out of bed, she decided to embark on a cooking project after their normal morning routine. Always breakfast. Oatmeal, Tasha? Again? It's good for you. Eat. A workout, and then sparring with the team. While she ran on the treadmill, she thought about something warm, perhaps a little spicy, to combat the snow she refused to look at. Steve needs some pie. He needs sweetened up today. American as apple pie had always privately amused Natasha. She'd spent a long September on a mission in Île Alatau National Park, eating from the wild apple groves. Kazakhstan had Vavilov instead of Johnny Appleseed. Too bad Vavilov had run afoul of Stalin after sequencing the apple genome to its origins in Almaty. Natasha had learned to cook in self-defense. Growing up in the Red Room, the ballerinas were kept so thin that many of them had irregular periods, if any. Cooking and eating were not favored skills. Natasha could and had eaten whatever was institutional food was available on missions and in barracks. But as soon as she had been permitted room for a hot plate and a cooler of ice, Natasha had taken control of her diet. Sometimes, she felt as though it was the only thing she was permitted to own. Clint had come back from New Mexico with a newly found appreciation for tacos around the same time she'd seen a meme for Taco Tuesday. Real American food, Natasha thought, was something she could do. Natasha usually made a weekly meal plan, assuming no missions, and every Sunday afternoon, she placed an order for delivery from the farm. Phil appreciated a soothing ritual. Hey, Tasha, what's for dinner? Clint reached for an apple from the copper bowl on her kitchen table. Natasha liked the way the bowl gleamed in the afternoon sun, the light reflected from an enormous mirror on the living room wall. In the tower, Tony subsisted mainly on smoothies and takeout, but Natasha could only eat out of so many greasy styrofoam containers before her stomach rebelled. She suspected she wasn't the only one, given how much Clint reminisced about Baja fish tacos. Steve and Bucky often politely slipped away after they ate with Tony. Yes, this would be a good plan. Jarvis, I have 35 packages of the 95% lean ground beef, correct? Yes, you have approximately 24 kilograms. Natasha had visited the farm in Connecticut several times. Martha was a lovely hostess, and her blini were excellent. Their chats had led to Natasha visiting the butcher and specifying exactly how she wanted her ground beef prepared and from which cuts of meat. Now, Natasha looked forward to her autumn email with the list of possible cuts from a half-beef, pork, goat, lamb, and poultry. Jarvis kept her orders separate from the rest of the tower's food supply, in a dedicated freezer and cold storage space. Natasha didn't generally indulge in charcuterie. Too many unpredictable length missions. But Phil knew that when Natasha mentioned Moskovskaya, she was talking about sausage, not vodka. A couple of months ago, Natasha had returned from a FUBAR mission in Mexico City with a 25 kilograms bag of masa harina, a sensitive ACL, and deep-seated frustration. Before she'd returned to the Quinjet, she'd traded a handgun for a heavy tortilla press and a quick tortilla making lesson from a grateful abuela. After the...